Sometimes it is hard for me, or I think teachers in general, to explain things that you practice with and use words to try to explain it. And the more I looked over my notes from last week, and the more I thought about last week, the more I thought, I think that was just too confusing. I mean, there was this thing I was trying to convey, but the ability to convey it gets complicated. And I think it all stemmed around because I've in the course of me trying to prepare for that talk, I read that Suchito talk, quote, and then I'm like, oh, this is what I gotta say. And then I don't know if I conveyed what it is that I was trying to say in a clear way. So I thought tonight I would go back and clear up a couple of things, see if I can make this more clear, and then it will make the practice that the what we talk about practice will make more sense, I think, if we take a step back and I clear up a couple of thoughts. So there's many ways to talk about becoming, but I like talking about becoming as part of what are called asavas, which are the floods, is what the way it's described in English is or translated is as floods. And I remember Suchito wrote this book about the paramis, and he was talking about the floods, and I read it, and I read this quote, and I'm like, that's it. This is what I want to say. But I don't think I adequately explained what the floods actually are to make sense, right? Because in Buddhism, in this practice, we, not just Buddhism, but in the practice itself, we talk about crossing over the floods or going from one shore to the far shore, going from the near shore, the shore we're at, crossing the floods and going to the far shore. So, and I'm going to talk about it in a minute, but I also mentioned something about me thinking that becoming is a transition. It's the transition. And I thought maybe I gave the impression that the becoming is how you cross over the floods, but that's actually not what I wanted to say. The becoming is the floods. It's a current in it. So what the way Suchito describes this, he calls it's the currents that run underneath the bubbling stream of mental activity. So underneath all of our thinking activity are these currents that pull us along and pull us in a way that pulls us from one moment to the next and pulls and pulls and pulls. And this pushing is the way that the floods kind of carry us off. This is what I think becoming is. Becoming is one of these currents that are underneath our bubbling stream of mental activity. So it's not your mental activity, but it's something underneath that activity that we're trying to see. But becoming, even though it's one of the currents that push us, it's so intertwined, these currents, that I think the best way to think about becoming is to begin to think about them in relation to all four currents and how these four currents, you'll begin to see as we go through this a little bit, you'll begin to see how these four currents, they push us and pull us along in life. So the first current, which is what we talked about mostly, is sensuality, because sensuality is so interconnected with becoming. We get so entangled with it. It's in this pursuit of happiness, but it's underneath. It's not so much in our thinking. It's this underneath kind of way that we believe something is going to be better. If I get rid of this thing I don't like, or if I get this thing I do like, it's going to be better. There's a way in which that current is underneath. We don't even hear ourselves saying that, but that's the current underneath, which is why we have so much pressure to get something and to get rid of something. The other thing is what Suchita calls this, which I think makes even more sense, is he said that it's more like it's hypnotic, right? Think about this. This hypnotic underneath. It's irresistible, charming. It is this kind of current underneath that does not have any confusion, resistance, or any kind of pressure with what we're thinking we should have. In fact, it's almost like the little devil sitting on our shoulders saying, yeah, we should get that. Everything's going to be okay. I think it's going to be okay. And it's kind of whispering it. So it's charming. But it's hypnotic. And we start feeling into that. And we are caught up in this current that pulls us into getting that thing. This is, or being. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. I like this thing that Suchito points out that, you know, we've been doing this since we were born. We do it as human beings. It's happening all the time. It's not like it's you or me. It just happens because of this need for pleasure, this automatic, hardwired aspect in us that of all beings that moves towards pleasure. And that little whispering, hypnotic kind of irresistible whisper, all beings have it. Even one cell beings have it. It's this leaning into and going towards the pleasure. But that leaning into going towards pleasure, it consumes us and it swoops us up and takes us away. And all of this sensuality, the leaning towards pleasure. And so the one thing I want to clarify, the leaning towards pleasure means that we have to necessarily push away unpleasant. We're not really pushing away the unpleasant. We're trying to get the pleasant. But the unpleasant is sort of in the way. And so there's this hypnotic way in which this current of sensuality convinces us that if we just move this unpleasant out of the way, we get what it is that we want. And that current is intertwined with this current of becoming. And becoming as a current in the floods is more related to time and identity. Something Suchita says that we're going to pick up in a minute here, but he said that it's not that the floods don't work in the present moment. So the only way these floods kind of work is they have to be boxed in by past and future. This past and future thinking is what allows this hypnotic kind of way in which these currents run to kind of convince us, come on now. You know, we've been here before. We don't want to, we're just going to fix this a little bit. Not trying to do anything. It's all in line with our practice. Don't even worry. You're just practicing right along. Everything's good. We're going to practice with this. It's that kind of current, and our identity gets caught up in it because we begin to think, I am this. I'm always angry. So of course, you know, anger is my go-to energy. I'm always, you know, kind. So I'm thinking I'm always kind. I never get angry because I'm always kind. We just have this way of believing we are something, and time and space is this time and kind of understanding is what gets us interlocked in this idea that I'm always kind, I am good, I am bad, I'm not worthy, I can't do it. All of this, it's wrapped up in this understanding towards pursuing pleasant. And we get tripped up by it. So we get stuck in it. It's difficult to get out of that or not get trapped in that becomingness, because becomingness is so much about me. And if you just notice in your life, just one day, just notice how obsessed we are about us. Me, not even our family, families and friends. It's not even that. It's about how our families and friends are making us feel better or not. And what we need to do to get them to make us feel better. Just all of our bubbling stream of mental activity is around this me, my, and I. My stuff, what does this have to do with me? And I feel this, I feel that, I. This is what the becoming, flooding of all of this together. So if you think about it, you know, I can say all kinds of dhamma about, don't be good people and stay with your practice and you will not be caught up in the floods. But in the real sense of it, it's always easier to tell other people how to practice, what to do. We're all chilled about it. You know, it's sort of like, you know, the hindrances. We have Dhamma talks on the hindrances and we're like, yeah, when aversion comes, we just work with it. We give metta, blah, blah, blah. But when you are in the midst of aversion, metta is far away. So you got to find a way to find metta when you're in the midst of aversion. This is what the flood of becoming to me is. It's this way in which we get so caught up in what is happening to us and how it relates to us that we can't kind of step back and see the practice. And that is intertwined with sensuality. But it's not the only current. There's another current. This is the current of our views, judgments, our opinions. This view is the same thing. What Suchita says is that it puts into abstract or makes us something that we can stand back from and say, oh, there's a that over there. It's not me. There's me, and then there's a that over there. And that viewing of the world as if I'm not making this world the way it is. The world is just this way, and I'm living in it. That separation that we create is part and parcel of how it is these floods keep us locked in and sweep us away. Because we don't see that I am doing this. We don't see that we are causing our own disappointment, our own sadness, our own irritation, our own frustration. We don't see it. And we think the world has these experiences over there, and I am experiencing it. And the flood sort of hypnotizes us into believing all this. And we can get stuck in this idea of separation. We don't see that we're making the duality. So one way I thought about maybe helping us see this on the flood of view is think about it like this. How much have you actually noticed that you're seeing? And how much have you just been seeing? How much do you know that you're hearing, and how much are you just listening? So there's all these sense doors that unless we shift our attention to notice that we're actually seeing, we just see and take it for granted and don't even think anything of it unless something happens to our eyes and we just can't see as well. Then we get all upset in a tizzy, try to fix it. But the idea of just seeing doesn't always work. So we have to actually practice with this idea of just seeing. We have to practice with the sense doors as a door. The last flood that we're going to talk about is this, the fourth one is ignorance. This is what Suchito says ignorance is. He says ignorance is the force that undermines our direct investigation of experience. This is why we don't think I'm seeing, I'm hearing. And instead, we just see, just look at, just hear things, listen to. So ignorance is the force that undermines our direct investigation of experience. Under its influence, if we notice the problems that these floods arouse, we may attribute them to general flaws in culture or religion or human nature. So what he's saying is, even if we saw something like, oh, that was kind of mean, I shouldn't have said that. We're like, oh, but, you know, they deserved it. If they didn't push me, I wouldn't have been that way. We don't actually investigate what we just saw. Instead, we just kind of brush it off because of this ignorance as just a thing. To me, becoming is kind of how we live our lives. This is why it was so hard for me to try to articulate this. I think this whole year we've been talking about and practicing leading up to this ability to see this becoming. So all of the other links are things we can begin to see and notice that kind of tell us, kind of like pointing, you know, watch it now because there's, you know, I can see my habits. I can see these sankharas are like pushing on me. I can begin to see the karma of the way I'm habitually acting out things. I can see patterns and I can see how my sense doors are really pulled towards things that I like. And I can feel into this pleasant, unpleasant. Neither. We talked about all that. And all of that is really pointing towards what is about to happen. Because from craving to becoming is like that. It's just this, everything goes push, and we get pulled away. So the second thing I wanted to clarify was this idea that I think becoming is a transition. And I thought, oh, I might have confused this idea that becoming, I see it as a transition, as the becoming being the bridge that we cross over the floods. but it's not. Becoming is the floods. But what I mean by transition is that we practice here on out differently than we practice those first seven links. I think the practice is different because once you are in the link of becoming, you are stuck with what you got. You got to play this karma out. It's not like in clinging when we can lean back into the grasping and the craving and try to play with that and practice with that or practice with the felt sense of pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. What am I learning in all of this? And I don't know if this is the best way to say it, but it feels like the first seven links are more of an embodied practice. And the practice of becoming is an awareness practice. So there's this embodied practice to feel through these first seven links. But once you get caught in the floods, this is about awareness. And it's a different type of practice. And this is why I think I had such a difficult time trying to explain it, because we are now swept away. So I talked to Philip because I was of the opinion from everything I was experiencing about this, once you're in becoming, you can't go back. You gotta stay with it. And I talked to Philip and he said, that is the traditional view, that when you're in becoming, you gotta play out whatever it is. That you're this becoming, not becoming. We're going to talk about in just a second. But then Philip mentioned something else that I'm going to say towards the end. So this distinction between when we are swept away and when we are wanting something, but we haven't quite got it yet, and we're in that pain. I think Alan was the person that talked about it last week about how, like, it's not pleasant. It's not like, oh, I'm just going to work with the craving. It is ugly. But in there, in that, this embodied place, we can learn to get some stability. And that stability can help us. But I don't want to give you the impression that somehow there is a failure if you get pulled off into craving. I mean, becoming. Because it's not. It is a necessary part of practice. We actually have to, at some points, we have to be in the craving and feel that. And at some point, we have to be carried off by the floods to this becoming. That's what I want to talk about. A way that I was going to note is that it is like falling off into the water. We got to fall in the water to know how to be in the water, because these floods are pretty tough. So when we were in those seven earlier links, I'm talking about up until a craving, but even the felt sense of craving. So eight links. That's like this kind of learning to recognize our habits. You know, we can embody and feel the pattern nature of some of these sankharas, feel it, how patterned it is, and feel this, the sense doors being percolated, feel the feeling tones and that sense of craving. We feel into all of that. But when we get to becoming, we have fallen off into the water, and now the current of it is pulling us, carrying us along. So this current demands a different kind of practice. We cannot swim back to the shore. We can't even get to the shore. We can't. We are in the rapids and we are moving fast. So this current, it's like a force in and of itself, a flow in and of itself. Because we can't get back to the shore, we can't swim our way out of this rapids. We're all up in it. We need a different type of practice. We need a practice that's based in wisdom, kindness, and ease, right? We need a practice that will help us navigate the shore. So often, Buddha would be asked, whenever he talk about these, whenever he talk about dependent origination, people would ask him, well, who is becoming? You know, well, who's got the sense doors? Who is this? Who is that? They'd ask him all the way down the lines, all the links. And the Buddha would inevitably say, that is an invalid question. He would say it over and over and over. It's invalid. I'm going to say, I got this out of one of his suttas and kind of maybe explain it. He says that when there is the view that the life principle or the link is the same as the body, or when there is a view that the life principle is the same as the body, there's no leading the holy life. And when there is the view that the life principle is one thing and the body is another thing, there is no leading the holy life. Avoiding these two extremes, the Tathagata points out the Dhamma in between. I think what he's trying to say is that you are not becoming. Becoming is happening. You are not craving. Craving is happening. It's being experienced. And that it's not that there's a body and there's craving. And it's not that there is, that craving is the body. It's that there is this a possibility for the awareness of the arising of a thing. This awareness of the arising of a thing. And that, and not even a thing, the arising of an experience is probably a better way to say it. So what he's basically saying is everything is conditional. It's conditional and it builds upon itself. So we don't just get to becoming because all of a sudden I'm not paying attention. It's been a long thread before we get to becoming that we have not been paying attention. And when we get to becoming, we're swept away. So at that moment of being swept away, it's time for us to practice with a different kind of practice. Something I didn't know, but Tanisaro Bhikkhu said, and I believe him, you know, he's one of these scholarly monks like Bhikkhu Bodhi and Bhikkhu Anālayo. He said that the Buddha never defined becoming, that what he did was list the ways in which becoming is present. So he didn't define it. He just said, in these ways, becoming shows up. It shows up with our sense of sense pleasure. Whenever you're trying to make something feel better or get rid of something that doesn't feel good, becoming is there. That's what's there. It's this in the form or in the formless part that doesn't really make sense. And I thought about it. It's sort of like beginning to see yourself as a nice person, you can't see or you won't look at when you're not nice. Or when you begin to believe that I am, I don't want to see myself as a mean, likewise, you won't notice when you are mean because you don't want to see that. So instead, we begin to create this image of who we are, what the world is, what's happening, all of that in these floods. And we then begin to see life out of that view as if this is what's happening. So if you're in this becoming link, what we're trying to do is actually see what's going on. That's it. We're just trying to see what's happening with this clear comprehension. It's, you're not in craving or wanting, because at this point, you actually believe this is all happening. You believe whatever it is that you see or experience, or whatever your world is. You think this is who you are. It's funny to me when I think about how I see myself now when I look in the mirror, and how I saw myself 30 years ago when I first started this practice. I look at myself in the mirror and I try to imagine what that woman, that person thought of life as. I can't even imagine that I ever thought like that. I mean, my sense of self-hatred was so thick that I was forever criticizing everything that I saw in the mirror. There's just this constant barrage of criticism. And I always thought if I could clean all that up, because the criticism was all about making me a better person. If I clean all that stuff up, I was going to be a better person. So the whole world was centered around, how do we make Tuareg a better person? Not so angry. Got to get rid of that. I need to smile more because people say I'm intimidating. So don't be so mean looking. I got to start, giving more, caring about other people, get nicer, kinder, friendlier person. This is what I'm trying to do all the time. I needed to lose weight. I didn't like the way I looked. I didn't even like the color of my skin because I thought it was so light and I wish I was brown skin. I grew up in a house with brown skin people. And so I wanted to have brown skin like everybody else. All this judgment that I would put in that mirror to try to make myself someone different. But if I look in the mirror now, I still get angry. I still have the same difficulties I had back then. It's not like anything changed, except I don't have the resistance to it. I don't have the fight, the force, the kind of the need. I don't have that becoming pulling me into thinking I gotta be a certain way in order to be acceptable. I don't have that. So I still have anger. I still have same skin color I had before. Same have that sense, smile more, be nice. I still have all that. But I don't have the pull that comes from becoming. This, I wanted to give you an example. This is what I thought. This is my example of it. So, this is what I think of becoming. You got to imagine me falling off into the rapids. Because if I fall off into the rapids, I'm in my little boat and I'm in the rapids. I am going to be screaming, kicking, just fighting my way through this water. And I may or may not survive the process on the other end. But I'm going to be damaged. I'm going to suffer greatly. But now think about a professional who knows how to do these rapids, right? They're steady. The water is still rough. The rapids are still the rapids, but they have a steadiness about them. They have a skill that they know how to move with the water. They see the water. They know the water. They're present to this experience, and they have a level of ease. So they're moving with this water without force or resistance. They're skilled in their ability to move. They're not forcing it. And they're not just letting the water take them wherever they go. They're moving with the water in this skilled way. Now, if I go into the rapids, now I'm going to look crazy. Nobody's going to go in there with me. I can say, come on, you guys, let's do it. Nobody's going with me. But if I go and I practice being with the rapids, getting tossed about, thrown about, getting used to it, practicing, being with it, learning to move with it, then in time, I become a skilled person also. And I move with this becoming. I move with this flow. That's what it is that we are learning when we become. We are learning to diminish the danger of it, diminish the impact, the intensity of it, because we're still in the rapids, but we're learning to cut off or diminish that suffering that comes from the rapids. And then we can move through it and move through it, be with it, learn to be a part of life. Because the idea of becoming is inherent in this cycle of dependent origination. And this is the nature of being human. This cycle of dependent origination is not for the quote unquote sinners. And we're all the good people, so we don't have that dependent origination, thank God. It's not that. We all are in this dependent origination, but we are learning to practice with this in a different way. So our practice is about awareness. It's about being present. I thought about something Rodney would always say to us. If you ever took one of his beginning classes, he would always use this phrase, relax, observe, and allow. Relax, observe, and allow. And that's what this becoming practice is about. It's about relaxing into the moment. Yes, you got caught up. You're caught up in this. That's okay. We're caught up in it. We're going to learn how to ride it. Sometimes you're going to be kicking and screaming, but it's not about you. It's about understanding the nature of this mind-body system and how it is we get caught up. What are the conditions that lead to getting caught up? And what are the conditions that lead us from getting caught up? I think the last thing I want to say is that when I talked to Philip about, you know, how do you practice with this? And I'm thinking that, you know, this is all you're in now. You might as well just go on and ride it out. And he was saying that, yes, traditionally, it's held that once you're in becoming, you got to ride out whatever karma is created. Because basically, becoming is the arising of the karma, that the rising, you know, your intention. So, for instance, I didn't get to say, but I wanted to say earlier was part of becoming is in these links, we have these intentions. So if your intention is for greed, then when we finally get around to becoming, the karma that's coming out of that is going to be based in suffering, because you're trying to get something that you want, and it's based out of this root of greed. But likewise, if your intention is for goodwill and kindness, then in this becoming, there will be this goodwill and kindness that comes out of it. So it's not that the becoming is always going to be some terrible thing, but that arising of karma that comes out of intentions that are unwholesome lead to suffering, and that come out of intentions that are wholesome, like non-harm, kindness, and renunciation, then even though it's difficult, it leads to liberation. We learn to get skilled in what it is that we're doing here. So what Philip called this is disenchantment and depression. This is where we get disenchanted with the water rushing so much. We're not so, oh my God, I'm in the water. Oh my God, it's rushing. We're not that. And we just begin to get steady and easeful in what we're doing. We come into the present moment. And in the present moment, the waters begin to calm. The flooding is rapids are less rapidy, and we can begin to coast our way through, get a sense of it. I'm hoping this makes more sense tonight, that we're actually moving through this becoming. So next week, we'll talk a little bit more about the disenchantment. I think this disenchantment, I didn't check, but I'm thinking that this disenchantment and dispassion is connected to what's called transcendental dependent origination. And that Tim is going to talk about in December. So I think the transcendental kind of circular dependent origination is what helps us begin to create more dispassion. So we're not feeding our current kind of wanting to be or not wanting to be or sensual desire with some kind of delight and passion and craving and trying to make something happen. Instead, we are just resting in the present moment, trying to just understand what's going on here and practice with it. So I thought I would end, because you know I left us with the sutta that I wanted us to think on. So then I thought, oh, I should talk about that sutta. Then I thought, nope, I want to read it one more time. We'll talk about it next week. This is what we're going to talk about in our discussion next week. So, got this Deva who goes to the Buddha when he was in Jetta's Grove. And it was far extreme of the night. And it said that her extreme radiance was lighting up the entire Jetta's Grove when she went to the Buddha. And then on arrival, she sat down, bowed down, sat next to him or stood next to him. And she said, "Dear sir, tell me how you crossed over the floods." This is what Buddha said. "I crossed over the floods without pushing forward, without standing in place." She says, "But how, dear sir, did you cross over the floods without pushing forward, without staying in place? Right? How did you do this? I just told you these are rapids and they pull us and they, you know, the current is strong." So how did you do this without pushing forward, without staying in place? The Buddha said, when I pushed forward, I was whirled about. When I stayed in place, I sank. And so I crossed over the floods without pushing forward, without staying in place. So let's sit a moment with this. When I pushed forward, I was whirled about. When I stayed in place, I sank. And so I crossed over the flood without pushing forward, without staying in place. All right. We'll take some questions if anybody has any. You can use your hand. I think I can. Yeah, Brooke, I see you. I can. I think I can see everybody, so you can just raise your hand.
So would it be accurate to say, in terms of practicing with this, just like when we were practicing with the senses, and we were so, like you said earlier, like see that you are seeing, right? Or hear that you are hearing.
Yes.
So for this, it would be become that you are becoming.
Not become.
Did you say it that way?
Becoming. No, no, no. It's not become that you're becoming, but you notice that you're becoming. So you're
aware. Isn't the awareness of becoming? Yeah, don't become it, but it's like, yeah, okay. So the awareness of the becoming.
That's right. The awareness of the becoming. So do you really, it's the awareness of seeing. Awareness of hearing.
Okay.
So it's the awareness that you're practicing with. You want to be aware, and you can be aware if you practice by noticing your views, noticing how much every time you notice a duality, like my house, you know, my car, my, those are dualities, and that's a becoming. Every time you notice a really wanting some pleasure, that's the easiest one. Not wanting some unpleasant, that's a becoming. Or this idea that, you know, this idea that you are some way. You may be, there may be anger present or there may be some characteristic present, but it doesn't mean that's who you are. That's just a present moment experience. So you're trying to see patterns, caricatures, things like that. So you can begin to see that there's a one good way, which is what Vimala tried to get me to do with the hot dog. One good way to know that you're in becoming is whenever you think somebody has upset you, somebody's done something has happened that's caused you to be upset. That is you doing that. But trying to see that is difficult. And so that's we don't want to see that. We just want to fix whatever is the irritant. And so this is what you can practice with it by just trying to see it a little bit.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, Suzanne.
So I had an experience. I want an example in my life so I can map this on. I walked in my bathroom. My daughter had soaked the bath mat, soaked all these towels. It was like a wet mess. And I just saw this. She walked in behind me and I was like, what is this? What happened? Oh yeah, I got water all over everything and I just forgot to tell you. And I'm like, there's water everywhere, everything's soaking. How do you forget? Like, and I was like rising up and she's wrong. And then I had this split second when I like saw myself doing this and I heard these words coming out and I saw her. It was like an out of body experience kind of. And I was like, whoa, what are you doing right now? You're completely an ego machine that's just raging right now, right? And I was like, words were coming out, but this part of me was like, whoa, what is going on? And like this version said, I don't care, I'm right. And I like stuck to that part. I was like, no. And it felt like the rapids that you were describing, because it felt like I had this split second when I like knew and I saw and I was aware, this isn't going to get you. This isn't who you say you're aligned with. And I was like, I don't care. Go away. And I just said, I'm the mom and you're in trouble. And you're lying. It was like something about you're lying to me. So it was all past. It was all I. It was all you suck and you did this to me and you're going to do this to me again because you're 13 and I have evidence and that's the way life is. Thank you very much. And that felt like becoming to me.
Yes, that's it. That's the felt sense of it. This awareness, though, is what I'm talking about. It comes from cultivating practice.
Yeah.
Because even though in the way you're describing it, first of all, you are not the person that's freaking out.
No, I
freaking
know.
Freaking out is happening. This is true.
Freaking out is happening. Is happening. Exactly. Freaking out is happening.
But that the awareness is being able to see that this is happening right now. It is not part of the freak out. It sees the freak out. And as time goes on, we learn to have access to that awareness and it becomes stronger. It's like the skilled person through the rapids.
Yeah.
And that skilled person through the rapids is in the same rapids, but it has a skill in being able to actually maneuver through this, understand what's going on, and not get trapped in the flood itself. That's what we're beginning to see, is that our practice of awareness we can actually shift into that awareness rather than staying in the becoming, even though all of this is happening. And it starts with just being able to see it. Yeah, Ron.
Is this like, I heard somebody call this cognitive dissonance or dissonance?
No, it's not. I don't know what cognitive dissonance is.
Well, it was what she described. I had the same experience, and this is a different practitioner. He practiced through a different form of Buddhism, but I had her same experience, and I was wondering if I was going crazy or if it was, you know, but it was very interesting.
No, awareness. Awareness is universal. It's not tied to you any more than metta is not you. Metta is universal. Compassion, universal. These Brahmaviharas, universal. Wisdom is not tied to you. It's not like when you go to college and you get a degree in engineering, I know the engineering. Wisdom in Dhamma is universal. So what you're doing is accessing a universal understanding. And that universal understanding is more of clear comprehension. So what you're doing is clearly comprehending what it is that you're doing. But it's not you that's clearly comprehending it. It's the wisdom. In the beginning, it feels like, I think, not in the beginning, because I don't know why I keep saying in the beginning. I don't mean in the beginning like you don't have any practice. What I mean by when you begin to see this awareness of a moment in time, it seems like there's a disconnect. But as time goes on, when you access that awareness, you begin to see that the awareness is as accessible as the person or the being that's doing all that yelling. It's not like one is one and one is the other. They're the same. They're just in the present moment. So you're in the present moment, aware of. Just like the being that's aware of seeing is also the being that's seeing. So it's happening at the same time. But you can shift your attention to wise attention on the awareness of. That awareness of isn't caught up in the flood. And so there may still be anger and there may be frustration and I'm the mom and all this stuff, but you have the ability to skillfully not react out of that energy, aware that it's there, but not react out of the energy and still say, and deal with the situation. That's what I'm saying. You're in the same rapids, but your ability to have ease and steadiness and skillfully to move with the moment instead of resisting is what it is that you're cultivating.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
It really helps.
Yeah.
I thought it just, wow, what happened here, you know?
Yeah. No, but the more we practice.
Yeah. And then my friend said, oh, I said, is that a good thing or a bad thing? He said, that's a good thing.
Yeah. So I don't know the term cognitive dissonance. So I'm not saying whether this is or that is or whatever. I'm just talking about from the framework of the Dhamma, awareness is the ability to know what is happening and not necessarily be caught up in it so that you can't skillfully respond.
Great. Thank you so much. Appreciate
it. Because I do think we want to be clear. We're not necessarily trying to get rid of anger. We're trying to not respond out of it, but we're not necessarily trying to get rid of anger because it's not anger. It's the resistance and the pushing that we're doing because we don't like it that I'm angry. You might be angry, but you're good. Yeah, David.
So thanks for the questions and going through this. I was having something similar, kind of a similar scenario, but I'm not even sure if I can say this exactly, but I think this is what I'm asking. If you're caught up and you see that thing and you're about to maybe act unskillfully, but then you catch yourself, or even you begin and then you catch yourself, and it's a course correction, like maybe you're flailing in the rapids and then you're like, apply your skill. Does that change anything from the notion of becoming? Or is it still the same?
It's still the same. You still moved over into the becoming, unless you're in. So don't think of it like that. I'm saying that when you're in the rapids, it's always, there's always becoming. So we're not trying to not become. The becoming is there. But if you can begin to learn how to skillfully maneuver through the rapids, we are basically chipping away at the hardline self of it.
What about maybe this is where I was getting caught up in that, and that's helpful too. But I think there was a comment about you have to play out your comma from the situation.
Yeah.
And then, so it can that be like that quick, or is it something...
Could be.
It's the timeline maybe that I'm wondering.
Yeah, I wouldn't think about the comma as it. Comma means that you have to play out your intention. So if you have an unskillful intention, you're going to play that out. But it may not be playing out in this moment. That's why comma is so strange of a word, because you might be playing out comma from, 20 years ago in this moment. You got your comeuppance coming. Now it's coming. Now. But you don't know what it is. What you know is that you are aware that there is a lot of aversion or anger, or you're about to do something unskillful, and the awareness aspect of you can learn and be cultivated to give you enough steadiness to skillfully respond without causing additional harm and creating more karma on top of that. That's okay. What you're really learning how to do. We learn this by seeing just how conditional things are. You're not necessarily trying to say, oh, I don't want David to do this because David's just going to look like a bad person and no one's going to like him. But it's more like, can I understand? How did I get here? How did I get here? Why am I so mad? Because is this like Suzanne or Ron or you? You could have been in the exact same moment, different circumstances going on in your head, and you're not even mad. You're like looking at your daughter saying, okay, well, you know, get this cleaned up and I gotta go. I got something else to do. You know, we don't necessarily have to have all that response. All of that is coming from inside of us. So beginning to learn how to see that conditioning is what helps us begin to have less enchantment and passion in it. So I got two more. Ellen, I saw your hand, and then I see there was somebody else that had their hand up, but I can't see their hand now.
Okay. Thanks, Tori. So when I'm thinking about practicing with becoming, when I was practicing with craving and clinging, it was kind of like, you know, noticing the pull to something or the aversion, and notice when I was, you know, getting into clinging and I could come back to craving. So my mind, I'm nervous about it. So my mind says, go and grab some cookies, and I'm going to the cookies and I'm like, no, you know, I come back. Or even when I have the pull and the story starts going, I pull back. And this seems more like almost a specific kind of mindfulness, where it's like this is practiced more in your day when things are busy and you can't go one by one, you know, when the kids are around and you're doing dinner and you have a work, somebody calls you from work and you're doing three things at the same time, you don't have the ability to step back, and you're just trying to be aware as you're pulled into, you know, you're already in the rapids and you're just trying to keep that mindful, you know, mindfulness to the extent you can. Practice implication?
You're less trying to not be a certain way or trying to be a certain way, and you're just paying attention to the moment as it is. It's like when you're sitting in meditation and something comes up, we are practicing with becoming in a way, because the mind is becoming a practitioner that doesn't want this, or a practitioner that needs to work on this. And instead, you're just trying to learn, how do I just be with the moment and stop worrying about what it is or isn't? I think the hardest thing that I ever dealt with Rodney, was when he said, when I'm trying to figure out how do I end all this anger, I got to get rid of it because I got to be a non-angry person. This is what I thought. And he would tell me, stop worrying about the anger, Tori. You're not going to harm anyone. Just pay attention to when you're angry and when you're not. What is it like when you're angry? What is it like when you're not? I'm like, yeah, but will that get the anger to go away? He's like, I said, stop paying attention to the anger. I just kept thinking that somehow I gotta, whatever I'm doing has gotta be to get the anger to go away. But it doesn't. When you pay attention to the conditions that lead to anger and the conditions when anger is not present, you begin to get a wise discernment about anger, and you begin to understand. And when the mind begins to understand, it stops using anger as a go-to reflex. We get skillful with it, not because I try to make myself not be angry. This is all, that is the non-becoming. I don't want to see myself as an angry person. Or I think I'm always angry all the time. I wish I wasn't like that. That's the becoming. This is who I think I am. Instead, we're trying to, and stop worrying about whether you're angry or not. If you're angry, that's good. If you're not angry, that's good too. It's all good. We just want to see, what are the conditions that lead to me being angry? What's happening here? What are the conditions that lead to me not being angry? What happens here? And you just start noticing, and that noticing is going to begin to help you understand some things, and you're going to get skilled through the rapids because of it. Dara. Isn't that it? I have a friend named Dara. It's so hard for me to say. It's okay.
No problem. I think I'm going to basically ask the same thing. Maybe we're just a little stuck. But I think there is this feeling I have that when you get to that level of awareness that it's not going to be natural that the anger would subside to some degree, because your awareness of it would cause you to kind of follow a path of less anger. But I think what you're saying is that that's not the goal.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's not the goal. I mean, there is a...
But it would be a natural path on some level.
Yes, there is a path of uprooting defilements. And an arahant has uprooted all defilements, so anger doesn't arise in him. That's what, or her. That's what the belief is, right? So there's none of these defilements arise in them. But we're a long ways from the arahant path because, you know, they're sitting... You know, like a Nalio sits, he's in retreat 5 days a week, every week. And then he's at a retreat 2 days a week. He sits 14 hours a day. That's not our world, right? So instead, our world is we're going to be interacting with people and anger is going to be a part of it. We're going to be in these rapids and be in these floods all the time. Our practice is about not letting that get away with us, sweep us away. Instead, we want to learn to see it and investigate it. Begin to understand it a little more.
Thanks.
Okay, you guys. Cross the rapids. Not pushing forward. Not standing still. Gotta think what that is. Yeah, Melissa?
Yeah, I'm wondering, there's plenty of times, Tori, where I am in a situation where I don't know what emotion I have. Is it important for me to be able to identify the emotion I'm having I feel like this and this is, this that's enough?
That's right. I think it's more of the when we have this confusion around emotions, we want the clarity, and that seeking the clarity is like a fighting with it, a resistance, a pushing with it, trying to make it something, trying to understand. And all of that, it's like we are either, if it's a pleasant emotion, we're trying to figure it out, but it's usually unpleasant and we don't want it. And we figure if we figure it out what it is, it'll go away. That's how we're going to get it to go away. That's that underlying current that says, shh, we just figure this out. It's going to go away. We're going to feel much better. So instead, we're just trying to notice it and notice what it is doing to us, this not knowing about this process. And the more we learn to just rest in awareness, you will be amazed at how, let me say it like this. We don't teach children how to walk. How do they learn how to do that? We don't teach them how to bring food to their mouths. How do they learn how to do that? How do they learn how to maneuver through the world the way they do? It comes from their watching us. They watch us, watch us, watch us, watch us, watch us. Watch, 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 watch. And then they try it and they fall and they try it and the food misses and they get food all over the place and they try it and they keep trying. And they don't never have this sense that says, I don't want to try walking anymore. If I can't do it, I'm not doing it. They just keep trying it. And in some respects, once they start learning some things, then they expect that they should just know stuff. And then they get frustrated and we have to kind of like teach them how to learn again. But that's what this process is. We are teaching the mind how to understand, say, an emotion that we don't know what it is. how to be with that emotion or anger or reacting unskillfully. We're teaching the mind how to do it. And in the teaching, we are watching and observing. So if what we're observing is unskillful, we're trying to abandon it. And if what we're watching is skillful, we're trying to lean into it and see what we're learning. What is it that's here? This kind of right effort, this is the way that we are working, but all of that effort is not in doing. It's in helping us be more fully here, be more fully here, be more fully here. So if the unpleasant or the unwholesome behaviors is pulling us into past or future, we want to let that go. Stay right here. Just be with this. And the more we learn to do that, the more the mind learns how to be in the present moment. What is it? It begins to be in the present moment when we don't even know that we're in the present moment. It remembers to come to the present moment, which is what I think Suzanne was pointing to. Like the mind remembers. That's what we're cultivating. All right. So next week we got one more bite at this, right? Try not to worry too much about becoming, but think on this. What is it that the Buddha is pointing to on this idea of not forcing and not standing still? What is that? Because that is what we're doing when we're in these floods and we're dealing with these moments in time. And we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it next week, our last week together. We'll have a little bit of a party. All right. Good.